This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. As we prepare for Easter, we observe a period of time known as Lent, the 40 days prior to Easter Sunday, the first day of Lent on Ash Wednesday, which was February 17th this year. Ashes were placed on the foreheads of the faithful in the sign of the cross to remind them of Christ's death, of the sorrow one should feel for his or her sins, and of the necessity of repenting. Lent is a special time of reflecting in prayer and fasting upon the importance of our redemption and salvation, made possible through not only Christ's suffering on the cross, but including his resurrection. This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage, inviting you to visit us this Lenten season at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, March 7, 2021. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, let your people be drawn to your love and grace, to know your forgiveness and the joy of salvation. Let us join together in worship and praise, as this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Want to remind you that today is Communion Sunday. Be sure you've got one of these little guys to join us with that. And those of you who are joining us via online through stream, if you would, to go ahead and get some juice and bread ready so that you can join us later in the service as well. Today is indeed the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us find us in this place and in this space together of one heart, one mind. Let us now center that heart and mind that is who we are in Christ Jesus in a time of prayer. As we go there and begin in silence, let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we come into sanctuary. Outside around us, it may be that the tempest threatens. It may be that the storm rages. It may be that the clouds darken from the west and the winds blow cold from the north. It may be that we find ourselves in a place of grief, sorrow, struggle, anguish, anger, frustration, loss, depression, and darkness. It may be that we find ourselves seeking answers and finding none, needing and wanting to be comforted, but finding no peace. It may be that we are filled with doubts and uncertainties. Which way should we go? How should we decide? Maybe we feel we are unworthy, too broken, too far from you, too unclean to be redeemed. Maybe it is that someone has taken advantage of us in life, and now we can't trust. Maybe we are confused about the many things that we hear, we read. Maybe, we need a closer walk with you. Maybe it is that time of the Christian year
when we should draw ourselves and look inward to see where it is that we find ourselves, and to realize that God loves each and every one of us, the good and the bad, remarkably the same. He forgives us our sins, be they great or small. The blood of His Son is sufficient for the smallest or the greatest sin when we humble ourselves before our loving God and find His grace as we call out. His promise is that He would be with us always. So no matter what we may face, we are not alone, and we are not without eternal and heavenly resources. For He also promised that if we lack, we should ask, and that we should pray, and that He would hear our prayers and answer our prayers. And Father, sometimes it isn't the answer we expected or even wanted. But even in that, You give us strength to know that it is an answer in love, filled with grace, to serve our purpose, place in Your will and ways. So, Father, as we come, may You forgive us for the sins we have committed, both in the things we've done and the things we've left undone, in the things that we have said and the things left unsaid. Father, forgive us for not offering light into darkness and hope into depressions. Forgive us. But Father, give us strength to forgive others who may not have been that light to us in a darkened time in our lives. Father, as You fill us with Your grace and love, let us tell others about Your wonderful presence in our lives. Let us tell them. Let us show them. Let us talk the talk and walk the walk. Not in perfection, for there was only one perfect, and that was Your Son, and they crucified Him. So, Father, let us in grace and mercy admit that we are sinners saved by grace, but not use it as an excuse to not dig deeper and to seek You and live better. Father, for the needs within our church and its community, our friends and family, we pray. For our community and the leaders in our community and those who serve in our community, Father, we pray for them today. In our state, we pray for those in positions of leadership. May they know that the greatest leader is servant and is not greater than the least. And in our nation, may the same prayer be offered. We pray for those who serve our country in our military and armed forces. We pray for those who serve in hospitals, law enforcement, ambulance services, wherever it is, where the human condition is reached and touched and interacted with others who care, who are dedicating their life in a life of service. Father, we pray today for all of those who are giving of themselves, seeking to make a difference. May You bless them and that which they offer and give. Father, we pray for peace in the world around us. We pray for a cessation to violence. We would pray that we would not worry about the color of skin, but the content of heart. Father, may we truly pray for those who are hurting, suffering, and going through a time of difficulty, loss, trial, and tribulation. May we pray for those who are in the hospital, in their own homes, and those who care for others. May You hear our prayer offered to You in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Messiah, the Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The word of God for the people of God.
It gives us a timeline that doesn't exist in the other books of the Bible. It gives us 3 Passovers observed by Jesus. The other ones, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, only give us 1. And we're familiar with the Passover scripture reading traditionally used on Passion or Palm Sunday, which is the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, riding on the back of a donkey that had never been ridden before, and he goes in and he violently clears out the temple. But John gives us 3. Now notice we're only in the 2nd chapter of John, so early we get Jesus at the Passover. We get Jesus in the temple, and we get Jesus cleaning out the temple. Now, it's important for us to have a little bit more background, because it's also John that lets us know that Jesus' ministry was roughly 3.5 years. We can only draw that from our conclusions of reading the Gospel of John. 3 Passovers, 3 years. So we know that if John dates it here with this early Passover in the ministry of Jesus, if you go on and read, and I encourage you to read a little further down, you'll find that he doesn't quite reveal himself at this point. He's in the beginning of his ministry. So this is the first Passover, chapter 2 of the Gospel of John. What is Passover? It's an important feast. Today, we'll break bread at the table. Jesus takes the Passover feast on the night before he dies, and he institutes the new covenant, what we now call the Eucharist, Holy Communion, pick a name, but that's what it is. And it's the breaking of the bread, symbolizing the breaking and giving of his body and the blood to shed for the remission of sins. Passover was the highest holy day for the Jewish people. And anybody that could made the trek annually to Jerusalem to the temple, as did the mother and father of Jesus, if you remember. And we find them there, and we find Jesus teaching in the temple as they went up for that very feast. It was important because this represented the freedom from slavery in Egypt and God releasing them from that slavery through the death of the firstborn of those whose home was not covered by the blood. Blood had to be applied to the doorpost and the lintel of the house. If it was not there, the death angel flew over and the firstborn in that family was killed. And it didn't matter who you were. That was true for the Jew as it was for the Egyptian. The death angel visited the whole kingdom. And the blood was all that kept that death angel from killing that oldest son. So today we know the symbolism of all of those things, of Passover and the Lord's Supper and the blood of the Lamb and the shedding of the blood for the covenant. We realize and we hold that, but sometimes we kind of sort of trivialize it, you know. It's kind of shallow. It's kind of just out there. And here we find Jesus in the temple. We find that he shows up, and these people, now, somebody was thinking, you know, these people are coming from a long ways. And I bet that they really don't want to drag a lamb along for the journey, or a goat along for the journey, or a couple turtle doves, or any of those things. Maybe if it were convenient, they would buy these from us. And they had the big ones too. They had the cows. They had the big animals. They had it covered. They had been doing this for hundreds of years, literally. And all of a sudden, they figure out, okay, we got all the stuff. We're going to say it's convenient. And year after year, they would come up. You know, they could have a nice ride up, walk up, however, and they could go in and put some money down, and they could get their annual sacrifice animal. No harm, no foul, easy peasy. You know, this is the way to do it. And they had the money changers, because the Jews only took the best silver. They only took a certain coinage. They didn't want that Roman money, so there was the coin changers, the money changers. It's kind of like you, if you go to Germany, if you go to England, you've got to take your American money and turn it into the Queen's money. You know, you've got to have an exchange. And that's what they were doing. So you got tables over here, money changers. You got pens and you got livestock. This courtyard was full because Jerusalem filled up for the Passover. Jesus shows up and he herds the cattle and the big critters out with the whip. And then he tells those with the small ones, get them and go. Notice this is different from the traditional one that you hear about, right? And then he turns over the money tables and he says, do not make my Father's house a marketplace, a place where profit is gained, a place where selfish ambition is used and exploited, where God's house becomes the banner sell on aisle 5. It's the spring sale. It is the sale. Come and buy your sacrifices. It's kind of like televangelists today that put those large tables of cloths out there and they tell you, we'll wipe some sweat on this and send it to you for $20 if you'll support the ministry, and it'll be a healing tale. It's the exploitation of God for self-gain, self-purpose, and you disguise it. It's fake faith. Trinity was showing me a TikTok. How many of you look at TikTok? Yeah, you can say, but I bet you've looked at them. You may not have even known you did. There's some funny stuff on there, but there's also some serious stuff. And this guy had the illustration, and I've got to use it for us this morning. And the illustration was this kiddie pool. You know the little blow-up ones with a couple little rings, and you can put about that much water in them, and you can put the little kid in there. And he had toys in there. He put toys in there. And then he had this kiddie blow-up floaty thing that he put in there, and he's got that in there, and he said, this is how most Christians are and where they are in their faith journey. And the water's about this deep, so he plops down in that thing, and he's splashing water everywhere. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And they go into church, and they have this big party, and they have this big cheer thing, and Lord, you win. They got all the cliches, and they got all the stuff, and they're throwing their toys around, and when they get out, they just got a little water, dries right off, and it's over with, you know. But God wants to drop an anchor into their life, but the water ain't deep enough. And if they did put the anchor down in that shallow water, it would be of no good. How many of you have ever been out to the Gulf of Mexico? How many of you have ever been out on the coast of the United States anywhere when a hurricane's coming in, and watch what happens? They take those ships out to sea. They get them out in deep water. And they drop and secure that anchor on one end of that ship. And that anchor out there in the deep water allows that ship to move with the waves and the winds. It allows that ship to rise and fall with the waves. And they ride out that hurricane with hatches buttoned down and the anchor secure. But if that anchor turns loose, that ship is faced with certain disaster. But if that anchor holds, Ray Bolts has got a great song about the anchor holds, you should listen. And if that anchor holds, that great ship survives the storm, battered, but floating. However, if you don't take your ship out into deep water and anchor it, and you anchor it in the shallow bay, then it just uproots that anchor, slams that ship, and blows it on up onto the shore and destroys it. Christians, in order for us to have an anchor that holds, we need to have a faith deep enough to drop anchor in. That's what Lent is all about. That is what cleaning the house, our spiritual house. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have just invited Him to live within you. You just became the temple of the living God. Think about that. What you got in there? What you got in hanging out in there? Is there any jealousy in there? Any anger in there? Any frustration in there? Any jealousy? Any exploitation? Are you a Christian by day and a sinner by night? Are you a good Christian on Sunday in the pew, but come Monday you're down telling the stories at the water fountains and hanging out in the break rooms and using the Lord's name in vain when it's convenient? How deep is it? Is it deep enough to sustain you when the storm comes, and it will? Is it deep enough to sustain you when you lose somebody you love? When life turns upside down, and it will? Is it deep enough? Is the anchor got enough rope and chain to sustain you through the rise and fall of a lifetime? And Jesus here goes in and he cleans it out. And the Jews say, wait a minute. Who gave you permission to do this? And Jesus makes his first messianic prophecy here. You shall not make my Father's house a marketplace. You're doing the wrong thing. You're exploiting it. You see, those religious leaders didn't have a problem because they were going to get to put on the show. Their coffers would get filled up. They didn't have a problem with it. It's the fame and fortune gospel message of today, where people will tell you, if you're still suffering, if you're still having trouble, you're just not giving enough and not doing enough. Maybe it isn't what you're doing, but how you're doing it. Maybe it is a real, maybe there's some house cleaning to take place. And they said, but this temple, what do you mean? We've been building on this thing 46 years. And by the way, it wasn't finished at 46 years. It wouldn't be finished. Remember, this is about 30 A.D. It started, so it's 46 years, and it's 30 A.D. It won't be finished until 55 A.D. after the death of Paul, and then it'll be destroyed in 70. So they had it for 20 good years before it got destroyed after it was finished. So now Jesus says to them, tear this temple down and in 3 days I'll raise it up. We know what he meant by that now, don't we? We know, and so did his disciples. They remembered it, and they believed in his word. A messianic prophecy was confirmed in repeating that he will have a zeal for his Father's house. But most of us miss it in this story. Most of us miss this first Passover and the significance. For this is a call to clean house. Make ready. Get ready. You've made your religion false. And today, instead of people letting the Word of God change them, they want to change the Word of God for their agendas. They want to exploit God to suit their purpose. They want God to make their sin okay. They want everything their way. It's a Burger King mentality. They want it now. They want it their way. They don't want sesame seed buns. They want just plain old buns. Or they want double sesame seeds. Or if you don't suit them, they'll just cancel you today. You see, what we've done is we as Christians have watered this down. And instead of letting the Word of God cleanse and change our lives, we've decided it needs to suit us. That's not what this broken bread and wine means. That's not what that covenant means. This is the Word of God. And folks, if it was a sin a year ago, 10 years ago, or 500 years ago, it is still a sin. You can water it down. Because you decide something don't mean it's not so. Just because the multitudes decide something's right don't mean it is. How many of you have ever taken a psychology class? Okay. How many of you have ever heard of something called a think tank fallacy? That's what got us into Vietnam. Because a whole group of people decided, because they grew together and they were all just alike. And they, you know what? Birds of a feather flock together, they make the same chirps and the same sounds, and they make the same decisions. Do you know why God likes diversity? It eliminates that. And we need to celebrate that diversity. Well, Pastor, all of us look kind of alike. I got news for you. I know most of you. You ain't alike. Other than looking different, you think different. I've talked to some of you. I'm just not sure where some of you are thinking from, but, you know. I mean, Debbie got me a pair of yellow suspenders with ruler marks on them. Do you remember that? I'm going to start wearing them under this black suit. I think they'd stand out real good because I'm gaining a little and I have to chase. You know, anyway, I just. I am too. I told you. Proof is in the house. But what are we doing with our journey? Do we want a faith that changes us and can change the world? Or do we want it shallow and without feeling, without depth, without emotions, without being able to put that anchor down where it'll hold in a storm? Church, I've lived life long enough to know I want it deep enough to hold in the storm. I don't want it built out of a chain of my making, but I want it out of a chain of God's making. I want it out of a rope that a three-bonded cord that shall not fail. I don't want it shallow in a kiddie tub with a little bit of whoo-whoo-whoo once in a while. I want some depth in it because I've got some bruises. I've had some cuts and scrapes. I've had some broken things in my life. And in my opening prayer, you heard a litany of all the things that some of you have come here with this morning. You've been through them right here this morning. You have been beat up right here this morning. But because you're here, that tells me that you are learning and are learning and want to learn to take that anchor out into the deep water where it's got substance, where it's got saving power, where it is resilient, where the anchor will hold. Folks, there are people outside of this sanctuary this morning that are hurting in ways that we cannot imagine. Instead of going out and saying, everything's good, how about saying, with God, there's hope. With God, there's purpose. With God, there's options. But you got a clean house. You got a clean house. I don't like cleaning house. I just have to be honest with you. I don't even like cleaning my truck. Go out there and look at that thing. I've give up on getting the dust off anything in Rock Springs. It ain't happening. I think I'm just going to take an air hose and blow stuff off once a year. So there you go. It's enough. It just don't happen. I can't even see the speedometer in my truck if the sun shines in there. It ain't happening. Praise God, I can drive it at night. It works pretty good, except it's not as clear. You know, just the way it is. It's fuzzy because of the dust. You know, anyway, that's just the way it is. Sometimes we got to dust some stuff off. Sometimes we got to renew some things. And they believed in the scriptures, and they believed in the word of Jesus. It's the same call to us today to clean house. It's Lent. It's that time of the Christian year when we should be looking inward, not at the neighbor. When we should be cleaning off our porch, not looking to see what's on our neighbor's. That's where we are, and that's the table to which we come. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. I'd like for us to prepare our hearts to come to the table. And as we do that, you're going to hear a familiar song, and we're going to sing it at the end of the service. And it is One Bread and One Body. And I've been having us sing this for over a year, maybe even 2 years. So maybe it gets lost in the repetition. But I really want you to hear its words, for they represent what communion is for us. It is one bread and one body and one Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Folks, the church is unnecessarily divided. There should not be a denominational divide in the family of God. Sure, we can pick which one we want. You know, some people like Fords and Chevrolets. You can pick one, but they're both cars and trucks. When it comes down to who Christ is, there's only one Christ. Paul reminds us in Ephesians, there is one God, one Lord, one Christ, and one Holy Spirit that is in us all and through us all. One bread, one body, one Lord of all. Father, I want to pray for us this morning that our hearts would be ready to come to this table. And Father, that doesn't mean we prepared and found ourselves in perfection. But Father, that does mean that we know we're not perfect. That does mean that we know we've got some house cleaning to do. Father, we know that we come to this table out of our brokenness. We come out of our fears. We come to the table because we need to. And we need to remember that is a covenant of grace through the shed blood of Jesus. Amen. And now may we go to know that if we want a faith that will sustain us, it must have depth. It must be deep enough that God's anchor can be dropped and the long line hold and sustain us. May we go in this Lenten season to look within to find that which God would like to change, strengthen, to encourage. May we go in peace, grace, and mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.